accession number 26978, Reel 2.
Jack Wright, Reel 2. Sorry, you were telling me about when you joined the Antony.
Yes, I joined the Antony and we went down to Casablanca, and then we were based in Gibraltar. From Casablanca we went to Gibraltar. And we escorted all the North African convoys, which were, of course, the ports that we could possibly go into, sort of Bone or Anne. There was not many ports along the North African coast that we could go to. We did take a load of Marines on board and then took those up to Tripoli. But in the main, we were travelling from Gibraltar to Malta, taking convoys up through the Mediterranean.
Was the Antony a happy ship? How did she feel when you joined?
Yes, very happy, really. Even had on board some young lads who were from Borstal, and instead of serving a term at Borstal, they were drafted into the Navy, and even they were happy. So it must have been quite a good ship, actually. My duty when leaving harbour was to stand on the forecastle with a little bag of flags, which were the numbers of the national sort of code. And I had to signal to the bridge as the blacksmith brought up the cable on the capstan. He used to say, 2 fathoms, 3 fathoms, 4 fathoms, and I'd raise a little flag in the air just to indicate to the bridge that was what was on coming up. So and when the anchor arrived, of course, there were a couple of ratings used to go along with hoses and wash it all down and put it into its housing. So we were... It was a duty which I enjoyed, really, except for the first occasion I went up onto the forecastle, which wasn't for bringing up the anchor, but I went to go up onto the forecastle just to report for duty on the port side. And as I went up the ladders to the forecastle, I had my cap on, and there was quite a breeze blowing, and it just, as my head appeared above the deck, it just blew over the side. So I was put on a charge for having lost one naval cap.
Was the ship's company a mix of veterans and new?
Yes, it was quite a mixed crew. In the main, I suppose, it was the older type person. And this is what sort of kept the ship on an even keel, I think, where, you know, the youngsters... of course, didn't know exactly what to expect, and they were quite good guiding service to the young lads.
Can you remember your commanding officer?
I don't remember his name. He was a lieutenant commander. He was a bit of a madman, really, because whenever he possibly could, he'd move out of the escorts and he'd go use the radar to try and track down these U-boats. And even if he got the slightest little ping, he would go dashing off, use the depth charges if necessary, and he was always after a sort of a little bit of excitement, I think, because these convoys travelled about 4 knots, and it was a little bit slow for him. So anyway, he used to get his enjoyment out of chasing sight of the U-boats.
What were your impressions of Casablanca when you... Because that must have been your first overseas... Your first time you've been overseas, was it?
Yes, it was. The only thing I can recollect about Casablanca was the fact that when we were alongside the quay, the porthole was open. And we had little cabinets where we kept our gear and toiletries and things like that. And a brown arm came through the porthole and tried to get a small clock which was on the top of it. How he knew that was there, I don't know. But the next thing I saw was the leading seaman of the mess deck, or the mess I was on. He got hold of a wooden staff, and he just whacked this arm. Well, it disappeared after a shout of, oh, through the porthole. And that was my first sort of contact with foreigners. I did have another one later on in life when I went ashore in Alexandra, and I was shown some dirty postcards and these books which contain sort of ladies. And as the chap who came up to me started to poke these under my nose, he saw that I had a wallet or something in my shirt pocket, and so his hand went for that. I was ashore with some pals, and the so I whipped down the books and postcards and chased after him. I only got a little way when he turned round, slung back the wallet and drew a knife. So I thought, well, this is me, I'm off. And so I disappeared with my pals. We got out the best way we could. But that was just a sort of a incident which I can remember, you know. But I had some good times, even though I realised that there was a war on, but somehow or other, I was lucky, really. I've been in several areas of operation, and each time I've not really felt as though I was going to get killed or anything like that. I just felt I'm doing a job now, and I'm enjoying it. And luckily for me, I got through the service 4.5 years of, you know, really not having anything which has upset me, you know, or interfere with my sort of life on board, except on one occasion I went from, on the Antony, we went to Malta with a convoy, and I'd been on shore leave in Gibraltar. And foolishly, I'd bought some cherries, which I didn't wash. I just ate them as I was going along. Apparently, when I reached Malta, I passed out, and I was sent to the sick bay, and they sort of brought me back to Gibraltar. I was carried across the decks on the Nelson's, lifts. Train and put ashore and went to the King George V Hospital with this trouble that I had. And a Maltese doctor there diagnosed that I had gastroenteritis. So that was really the end of my service on HMS Antony, because I was sent back then on hospital ship HMS Samaria, and arrived back in England. Came into Southampton and went home on a 9 days leave, and then off I went to join the Belfast after that.
Just looking in here, your job was to watch for the U-boat periscopes. And did
yes.
you actually have any sightings and attacks?
Only one. I only have one of those. As I say, it was difficult really to see whether it was an actual periscope or whether it was just the white waves, the sort of type of crest of a wave, which was, you know, same. It was really the same sort of thing as the wake from a periscope. So it's very impossible, I should say, to distinguish one from the other.
Can you talk me through the incident when the ship made an attack?
Yes, I would be on the bridge, on a sort of special action station duties, and then we'd hear the engines rev up. We'd get lots of shouting from the voice pipe saying bearing so and so, and what sort of trouble it was, whether it was aircraft or the U-boats. And we went off quite considerably high knots, I think about 9 or 10 knots after this U-boat, as we thought it was. And I think the worst part of it was when they dropped the depth charges, was the explosion of the depth charge. And whilst we were on the bridge, we had to look out for any survivors or any oil coming up to the surface and so on. Only once did we feel we'd made a hit, but the rest of the time it was just either a false sounding or else a little bit of playtime for the skipper.
How did you know that time when you felt you'd made a hit? Was the wreckage? Or?
Yes, well, yes, it, there were bits and pieces came up to the surface, and the first thing we saw was oil. And I think either that was sent up as a decoy, and the wreckage and so on, because we never had any survivors come into the surface. So whether we'd actually made a hit or not, I don't really know.
How did you feel about the enemy in the U-boat? Was it just a job to be done, really?
I don't think I thought about it then. But I did when I was on the Belfast. I'll tell you about this a bit later. But I felt it then that they were the same as me. Really, they were only doing a job on board a ship, and so therefore I had no feeling of enmity or anything, really.
Just again referring back to your notes here, you referred to a fire on the quayside in Gibraltar.
Oh yes, that was peculiar, really. I'd just been on a trip to Malta and coming back to Gibraltar. And we pulled up alongside, and there was a crew of about 8 of us, I suppose, who were called to duty to join the Provost Marshal's crew to guard what had been an oil drum site, and whilst we were away, the oil drums had all been set on fire, somebody had landed from the sea and apparently blown up these oil drums and of course set fire to it all, and we were drafted to do this job of patrol. We were each given a rifle, 3 rounds of ammunition, and told to patrol along the quayside to prevent anybody else from coming. Well, during the night, it wasn't so easy. We each had a portion of the quayside to patrol, and we met up with each other at the ends of each of our patrols, and we'd sort of say all's well and start back again. And the trouble was the drums had got hot, of course, with the explosion and with the day's sort of sunlight, and the drums were contracting, and having contracted they banged about a bit, and we didn't know, it was quite frightening really, because we didn't know whether it was somebody coming ashore or whether it was these drums that were just expanding and contracting. So I was a little bit frightened about that really. It was my first time, the first time that I'd held a rifle, well, at least a loaded rifle, because under training, of course, I'd used a rifle for rifle drill and all that sort of thing, but first time when I felt that it had some meaning, and I was a little bit afraid that either I might do the wrong thing and shoot somebody, or at least have to use it. So that was quite an experience, really.
It's just you and your rifle against highly trained German saboteurs.
Absolutely. Yes. I was just going to say, we also, on our way back once from Malta, we called in at Iran, and in the harbour were a load of American merchant vessels, and they were loading up the prisoners, German prisoners, into these boats. Where they were taking them, I have no idea, but we had to escort them past Gibraltar into the Atlantic on the way back. So it was amazing to see the numbers of men that they pushed down into the hold, and sort of kept them there, I suppose, on the lower decks, which I never thought would be large enough for the numbers that were going down the gangway.
This must have been just after the end in North Africa, would that have been?
Yes, it was during the time, I suppose, when they'd advanced quite well in Africa. And so they had to get rid of these prisoners somewhere, because they couldn't keep them ashore on the North African coast. So that was one incident. Another night time, we were going up to I think it was towards Tripoli, and we started we became involved in the bombardment. There were several ships involved, bombardment of two islands, Lampedusa and Pantelleria. It was just like a firework night, really, with all the tracer bullets, the shells and all that sort of thing landing on the shore. The idea was to soften it up and to destroy any ammunition or arms dumps, because they felt that both these islands were being used to hold or to actually transport, be a sort of a transport base for the arms and necessary sort of ammunition and supplies going over to North Africa from Italy. Whether they were or not, we don't know, but or at least I don't know. But at least it was thought to be the basis for transporting these items to North Africa.
Did you have any awareness at the time of why you were doing this, or did it just seem...
No, we were... It was quite a surprise, really. As we set out at night time, and no convoy, so we didn't know what we were on to, as far as duty was concerned. And suddenly all hell let loose as we passed these islands. We were bombarding the shores, as I say, just to get rid of anything that was there. But there was also return fire from the shore, so we must have been prepared for something or other. And it was quite a useful sort of base, I think.
Take that as a ring break before we move on.
Right.